Blog Talk Radio.
Remember, this is an emotion that we're feeling and we're upset. However,
you know, if you have you've entered into this covenant of marriage, right?
And let me just stop you right there. Like I said, I've been there.
Right.
I've done that.
Right.
I've made the mistake.
But you've learned.
I've learned.
And now you're sharing.
It doesn't work.
You're sharing with you.
Right.
Why doesn't it work?
It doesn't work because it just creates more anger.
Yes.
Because now I'm impatient, and now I come home and my husband has not eaten, so now he's impatient.
Uh-huh.
And he's possibly got an attitude. So now we've both got double attitude because we were angry about what was going on last night.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's upset because he hasn't eaten.
Nope.
And then he finds out that you have eaten. Okay, so that what does that make him feel like?
Tense,
first of all. But
not respected.
And not
love.
And not love.
Yes.
Know, and especially when he's the breadwinner. You know, and how dare you. You know, that's what I had to get a check on. How dare I'm not paying the price.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's some craziness.
Mm-hmm.
But we tend to do that because we're so angry or we're so disappointed in the discussion or whatever we had to fall out about that we're only thinking about ourselves. We're only thinking about the emotions that we're operating in at that given time.
Mm-hmm.
We're not looking at the rest of the story. And our minds are too fogged. It's like a smoke screen that the enemy puts in front of us so that we can't see beyond that smoke screen because all we see is our anger. All we see is we want him to suffer like we're suffering. All we see is he hurt our feelings, so we want him to be hurting also.
Mm-hmm.
And really, to be honest, it's a lot of work to be angry.
Oh, my goodness.
Or it's a lot of work to be impatient.
Yeah,
because by the time you get home, you work with so much anger and so much impatience with him. And really, the word is angry or upset with him. You worked up so much of that you're frustrated and tired.
And just all mad with yourself.
Yeah, you deserve all that energy.
Let me throw one else at you. Because, again, I you know, describe this stuff for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So love is patient. We keep saying patient. What does it look like to be patient? I am in the car with my husband or my prospective husband, and I'm sitting in the passenger seat. He's driving, and I know it only takes 15 minutes to get to that spot. But why is he going all the way around, you know, to Mississippi just to get to Canal Street? You know, I'm just, you know, being dramatic a little bit. But patience. Show me patience in there. Tell me what does patience look like.
That's funny. I asked my husband that one day, why do you go all the way around there when we can just go down the street?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, because this is familiar to me.
Okay, come on. Okay,
he had a reason. This was his route, and a lot of times they don't differ from their route. So what does it look like? What does impatience look like when I'm sitting there in the car? And even when I was dating, and men would do that, you know, a boyfriend would do that, it'll be like, for real? Come on now, I know you see the shortcut. Why can't we go down the shortcut? So you're sitting there, and you're furious because you got to get there a certain time, and you're like, oh, for real? Come on now, come on. But what it is we still have to sit back. They're driving. We're not.
Mm-hmm.
It is in their mind the way that they want to go.
Mm-hmm.
We're passengers, and it is in our mind the way we think they should go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all about staying in your lane.
I love that. On the highway. I love that.
Yeah, it's on the highway, but you're in your lane.
Yeah.
Men tend to have a lane that they're going to stay in and they're going to ride in. But us, a lot of times us women, we want to cross over. You know, we want to get in their lane. We want to get in our lane. And, you know, a lot of times we feel like we're riding and we want to tell them how to do it or how to stop a direction.
And I don't know about you, but when I think I'm right, man. You got something on
your hands. I have a question for you. Single or married.
Yeah. And I have a question for you, Miss Newlywed. And it was just, as I'm listening to Marcia, I want to pose that same question to you about patience. And I just want to bear with me because it's just a thought that came. So, you know, trying to merge these two lives together, right? Tell me what does patience look like as your husband is trying to get to know your nuances, get to know your personality, get to, you know, find out your love languages, and not only just get to know all about you, but to try to find out how should he merge his life with yours without stepping on you and all that. How does patience look like for you, you know, in, you know, trying to allow him that space to do all of those things? Does that make sense?
It does make sense. I mean, sometimes step on my toes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I step on his, quite honestly. But mostly we don't. I am very blessed with a man who absolutely fits my personality and I fit his. So first of all, let me say that. So mm-hmm. we're not butting heads left and right about every issue under the sun. I am very opinionated. Mm-hmm. He knows it. He's accepted it. He knows I'm a lot moodier than he is, I guess most women are. He knows it. He accepts it. So what I'm saying is he gives me a lot of space to be myself, and he doesn't come down on me or condemn me for it.
And when how does that look like for as far as you being patient with him to kind of find his way around you and
well,
work with you?
Well,
like what does Mrs. Bridges
I don't always get it right. Sometimes
right.
Mr. Bridges gets the wrath of my tongue, you know, and I'm not patient.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, we're not constantly butting heads, but there are times when I know that I've just stepped out too far and I haven't been patient. So there are things that I think he should have done or
mm-hmm.
Maybe should have known about, and I have to reassess. I am absolutely in love with my husband, and I am so committed to our marriage being the best that it can be, so I'm conscious of it. I'm conscious of wanting to do it right and wanting to get it right, so I'm doing things on purpose.
Intentional.
With intention, I absolutely am. So when I see an area, like you just described the car situation,
mm-hmm.
In the directions, or he's going a whole other way. And what I love is you said everybody stays in their lane.
Mm-hmm.
What I noticed is you said that you did ask him about it.
Yeah,
but it's okay to ask.
Yes.
But it's how you ask. So I have to curb my personality sometimes. It's like, okay, I really want to know why are we going down this
road.
But
is that not patient?
That is patient.
And
that's why
I posed the question the way I did, mm-hmm. because you're also exemplifying patience
in how I even ask. Recording was the question. It doesn't mean you just keep your mouth shut about everything.
No.
That's not what it means at all.
But it's how you ask. Now,
mm-hmm.
if I had said, okay, you know, you're going the wrong way, and I need you to hurry up and get over this way, that's totally different. It's the attitude in which you ask, and it is the way you ask. But by me saying, well, honey, is there a reason you're going this way? And he said, because this is my familiar way. So We have to learn, and men and women both have to learn how to talk, how
exactly,
to communicate with each
exactly.
other.
Exactly.
That is not offensive.
Mm-hmm.
And that will curb a lot of
it really
anger.
Will.
It'll curb a lot of misunderstandings. It'll curb a lot of that.
Right. And, you know, we do speak different languages. It's so funny sometimes, the miscommunications that may happen.
Yes.
Now, my husband gave my son a phone call last week. So he sends me a text message while I'm at work. He says, talk to your son. So I text him back and say, talk to my son about what? He says, it's personal. What do you mean it's personal? You want me to talk to him, but you don't want to tell me what to talk to him about? We confused each other. I was exhausted. I texted him back and said, ugh. In the end of it, what he was saying was, I talked to your son. It's like, you know what? Not the same thing. Talk to is not the same as talk to. So it was all just a different semantics, I guess.
Right, right.
But I heard it a whole different way. He meant it, and that happens sometimes. So we have to allow ourselves the time to even sift through what was said, not to react right away.
Right.
I know this is a small thing, but sometimes it might be something bigger on the
it's
table,
not small,
and we might react wrong.
Yeah, it
mm-hmm.
actually is not small, because that little miscommunication, if it's not attended to, it can become something
exactly.
bigger, you know, where you're missing one another throughout the time of the marriage. So that's don't look at it as small.
And
that you thought about that.
Yeah, what he was saying was, I talked to your son,
mm-hmm.
and she took it as talk to your
you
son.
Need
yes.
to talk
you
to
need
your son.
To talk
absolutely,
to
yes.
And
with this new texty day.
But that's
you know.
One word.
Yes.
That
one
word left out, because he felt she understood, I talked to your son.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So he didn't put that word in there.
Mm-hmm.
point.
You're reading my mind. Because I'm like, even if you're sitting in the room with your perspective or your husband and you're communicating, sometimes words are left out. We tend to be more detailed women.
Right.
You know, I attest to that. And men are like, just give it to me. Just, you know, what's taking so long? So when I ask you that question, Niecy, and pose it that way, because, you know, even I'm finding that you have to be even a little more patient with guys to know that what your significant other, to know that they're trying to, they may not completely understand where you're coming from, and they're not speaking your language. So just be patient to teach them
your language.
Right.
Yes. Your language.
Right.
Because every person has a different language.
Yes.
Especially, and this is the funny part, the language is okay as long as you're just friends. But the language gets different
when you're
in relationship with a person.
Yeah.
As a boyfriend, girlfriend.
Change.
Yeah, the expectations change. So the language changes.
Right.
And then the language changes again when you get married.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's like three different
and then when
you
insert children.
Yeah, then you got the fourth language, okay? So it's these four languages that are hanging out here. One when you're dating, one when you're friends. The other one, when you really decide, okay, we want a relationship. The next one is, okay, we're married now. There's a different language. And now children are in the package. Now there's a different language. And what really happens is we go back to love. When you're friends, that's a different type of love. When you come into the relationship of boyfriend, girlfriend, this is my significant other, my boyfriend and my girlfriend, then now there's another level of love that's coming into to action. And now, After you decide, okay, well, we're going to get married, so now you're entering into another level of relationship of love, which changes the language. And then when the children come, there's a whole nother language because they impede sometimes on the love.
Oh, man, this is getting good. We have not even really delved that much into the whole lust thing because we do want to kind of identify some other areas of lust, not just sex. But we're going to stay here on that a little bit, Ms. Marsha. Keep that thought. Guys, we're going to take a short break. This is Ministry Along the Way. We'll be right back.
There's only you in my life, the only thing that's right.
My first love, you're every breath that I take, you're every step I make,
and I want to share all my love with you. No one else.
And we also have a special guest with us tonight, life coach, Marcia Dixon with ISO Wisdom. And you can also find Marcia on isowisdom.com, right? Yes. Okay. Is there a phone number?
It's on the website.
It's on the website. Okay. Okay.
That'll be easier. isowisdom.com.
I have a question for you. We're talking about men and women, and I know that the Bible says that men ought to deal with their wives according to understanding. I'm saying that in my own words,
right?
Okay. That means he needs to get to know his wife.
Right.
Just kind of leaving, picking up where we left off before the break. So with him needing to know his wife and know how she ticks and how she thinks, remember just a few minutes ago we were talking about dating and all that goes on in the dating relationship and how, you know, he was really wooing this woman. He's supporting her with everything he has. And then sometimes after I do come, you know, oh, I've got to go to work now. Now the focus seems to be shifted. And I found that men are so work-oriented that perhaps when they were dating, maybe that was looked at as something to accomplish, and now that it's accomplished, now they've moved on to another work at hand. Help me.
They're confident.
Yes. Help me. Why are they no longer singing to her what it takes to keep her pampered and happy the way they pursued her when they were dating?
Well, when we go back to Genesis, and when they left the Garden of Eden, God said that man would work by the sweat of his brow. And so he's really doing what God told him he's supposed to be doing after marriage. But in the courtship, there is a communication of, I'm desiring you to be who I want you to be for me, for a lifetime.
Okay.
So a lot of times the men think or feel, okay, I've shown you who I am in the courtship.
Okay.
You know who I am. So if this is not who you like, then you shouldn't marry me. You shouldn't have entered into this relationship with me, because you still should have seen some signs of, I have work ethic, and I am going to be working. Yet, he's communicating, he's taking you to dinner, he's loving on you, he's doing all these things. So when he comes to marriage, his main concern is taking care of the house.
Can I just, you know, ask a question here,
yes,
and also question part statement? So we're dating. He's working. When we date, we probably are seeing each other maybe 2-3 hours or whatever,
exactly,
because we're going out to eat.
Exactly.
Now we're married. We live together.
Uh-huh.
So now we're in the house with each other,
yes,
the majority of the time.
Mm-hmm.
So the expectation
for what?
A woman
used to love me,
but nothing changed. Nothing changed.
It actually did not change because you only saw him so many hours of a week.
Right.
Maybe let's say you went out twice a week, and you might have talked to him on the telephone maybe 3 or 4 hours, or you talked to him in between his
lunch break
mm-hmm. or something like that. Now that you're married, you got 24 hours in a day around this man, and he might not be an over communicator, so he doesn't have much to talk about, and he talks because he was interested in getting the relationship where it needed to go. Once the relationship is there, then he feels that, okay, now you're secure with me. And not necessarily saying that they don't want to talk to you. They just feel like, I've shown you, man, I'm secure now, and you're secure, so I got to go work.
And he talked to you on those dates. Can you just talk to me? That was a good question, Niecy. That was a great question. I'm just like, wait a minute, girl, that is so true. You know, you talked on dates, and it was exciting.
But look how many hours we talked
on
dates.
It wasn't that much time. Did you hear me say you're only spending maybe two or three hours with someone that you're dating? That's why I said that. And then now you're living together,
which is 24 hours.
Him to keep talking.
But he's still talking after 3 hours. Most times men are through talking after 3 hours. If you get a man to talk for 3 hours,
in
a marriage, you're doing really, really good. Unless you have a man who just talks anyway. But most times they're going to say what they got to say within those 2 and 3 hours. Okay, and they're not going to make long, drawn-out sentences.
But do you understand?
Oh, I'm
thinking about it, because I probably I know I'm probably guilty of that when, you know, I was dating and all that. That's just not right. You know, because we have high expectations.
Go ahead.
Absolutely.
In dating,
yeah.
Even in those 3 hours, who's doing the most of the talk?
The women are.
Okay.
And then, but even if the male is, when you think about it, when you frame it, we're talking, girl, mm-hmm. and this is organic. Literally, you're only with each other, you know, short periods of time throughout the day. You're meeting to go sit down and have a bite to eat, or you're going to the movies, or
where you're not talking at all in the movies.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's movies a lot.
But you know what I mean? To have a conversation when you got to go with the talk.
But the woman is still asking most of the questions so that he can give the answers.
There's still some talkative guys, though.
Yeah, there's some talkative guys. They're going to talk and they're going to answer your questions. Most guys are going to answer your questions more so than just having a long, drawn-out conversation with you. You're not, 50% of the male population
mm-hmm.
is not going to sit down and talk to you for a straight 3 hours.
You're not.
And you not have to say anything, but, oh, okay. No. Most times, the woman is prompting questions for them to answer. They're either giving you short answers or they give you long-dated answers. But when you put it all together, the talk time is about, you might get, I'm 24 hours of the day, you might get 4 hours.
So basically, we're getting that guy, you know, on those date nights or when we're dating, when we're trying to, you know, get to know one another and recording. But when we now, he's in his personal state. We're married now. We're talking about marriage stage. So now he's in his personal setting. He's relaxed. Come home from work. We want to just tell about the whole day and everything else, and they just want to chill. And I bet you that's how that guy is even when we were dating.
It is.
When he's living in his own space. He comes home, he chills for a minute, you know, and then he'll call you or we call him first. And you know, so, yeah.
But it can be a point of confusion on that woman's part and saying, wait a minute, this man who was so into me, is no longer in.
But
he still into you, though.
Yeah.
Looks like he's not. Still totally into you. He's just not carrying a conversation for the 10 hours a day with you or for 7 hours a day with you on a regular basis, okay? But he's still totally into you. He married you, okay? He's totally into you. He married you.
We're not speaking of the guy that just all of a sudden he married, because that's the thing that's the perspective.
Right.
That all of a sudden you've gotten married and he completely shut down. Now,
no,
we do know that there's cases like that.
Yes.
We're talking about some normal settings
right.
to where now you're trying to merge these two lives together.
Right.
And we as women, like, he's not giving me that much attention. You know, babe, you're not talking to me that much. You're not listening to me. And he's like,
what happens
to our
clothes?
And he's like, well, I listened to you for 2 hours.
2 hours?
And he's thinking in his head, that's the 2 hours I used to listen to you when we were out dating.
So he feels he's accomplished what he's, you know, that was the requirement. You only required 3 hours of it. Okay, you required the time that you were dating or the time that you were on the phone. And even when you were on the phone late night, talking to the morning hours,
ooh,
it was most of the time the women talking and the men listening.
Because they fall asleep.
Yes.
I've had that.
Okay, so a lot of times we're carrying on the conversation, and then a 30 to 40% of that time was you both snoring on the phone or waking up saying, are you still awake? Are you still here? So it was.
Are you tired? In all fairness to women, in all fairness, you know, sometimes they do a little bit more.
Of course.
Because, and when I say, I said something when Missy had asked you a question, and I kind of said, blurted it out loud to myself, but I said, men are conquerors. And when they feel like they've conquered, they do kind of. Okay, I got the pride. They do kind of scale back
and move on to the next project, right?
Let's just say they scale back a little bit. Hopefully, they're not moving on to the next project.
Well, you know what I mean. No. They are focused. Now I'm focused on work.
Yeah.
You know, become a workaholic.
Taking care of the house. Taking care of the house.
They're goal-oriented. We'll say it that way. They're goal-oriented.
Yeah.
And their goal was, this is the woman that I want.
Yeah.
This is the woman I'm going after. This is who I know to be my wife. So I'm going in. And I'm setting that goal that she'll be my wife. So, yes, they're doing what it takes to get that woman. And, of course, we're readily going because we're, well, we just
we want to be conquered. We want to be conquered.
Let's talk about conquering takes place, or the goal, he's reached his goal, he's established you are his mate, you know, so now that comes in. And now he's on to the next goal. And the next priority goal for a godly man is to serve the Lord and to take care of my home. Okay?
And when you said a what kind of man?
A godly man.
Okay.
Is to serve the Lord and to take care of my home.
Just want to make sure we preface that.
Yeah, I said a godly man.
Absolutely.
To serve the Lord and to take care of my home. So now his goal is to give some time to the Lord that he can worship the Lord and be in the proper place so that the headship stays in place. God, him as head, and then the husband as headship, and then the wife follows after it. And now he turns his affection to God and to the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
So this goes back to that patience.
Yes.
Thing,
yes.
Exuding some type of, to exercise some kind of patience to understand that. And more of these conversations should be had amongst women. These are really good conversations because you're feeding off of one another.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're learning from one another,
mm-hmm.
from trials and tribulations of someone else, or just because they're learning and going through and they're giving you good
right.
tips, you know, tips.
And just to go back to the conversation of communication,
mm-hmm.
if you have a husband who's not talking and he used to talk beforehand, then you've got to find something that he wants to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to talk about your girlfriend all day long.
Get to know your husband.
Get to know your husband.
Get to know him.
You know, one of the things that I found for my husband works for him and for us to really communicate is to take a drive. He's in control. He's driving the car. He knows where he's going. And he just starts talking. I don't even have to generate the conversation. If it's a 2-hour drive, within that next hour, he's talking. So I love to just get into the car because then I get to hear his mind. Or if I decide to work with him sometimes, he's talking.
Oh, work with. Yeah, they love to teach. They
yes,
love teaching.
Teach. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Men love to teach.
Yes.
They love to teach. They have your attention. Guys, we want you to get in on this conversation. We want to hear from you. You all have been listening to us. The number to call to get into this conversation is 347-637-3604, and you're just going to simply press 1.
Yes.
Right? And we want to hear your voices. We want to
yes.
hear what you all have to say out there about this topic. There's another one that I wanted to kind of like throw out there, right? So what does it look like when the Bible speaks of love does not envy? What does that look like? Any one of you all?
You want to think of it? Yeah. I'll ask you.
It really can show up in areas that you weren't even expecting. I'm going to be off the cuff here. My husband is self-employed.
Mm-hmm.
I'm jealous.
Mm-hmm.
I want to can I admit that?
Sure, you can admit that.
I'm jealous. I want him to say
that he's good.
Good one, so.
Now, he works extremely hard,
yeah.
and I couldn't do what he does, but I love that he makes his own schedule. He, you know, he's the boss. He can call his own shots, and I'm jealous. Now,
you
to
the
get point, there, Misha.
You
don't get there. Envy, I don't think I'm envious, but I am a little jealous. I am going to say that. He doesn't even know that. I've not told him that yet.
and he'll hear the
report
tomorrow.
Yeah. It's a good thing. I just want it too.
But you said some confess mm-hmm. your sins to one another. I'm just saying. And you did that.
Okay,
too. You did
that. So
yes.
I'll never
need
to tell him. You and the listening audience.
He was forgiving God.
Confess your sins to one another. So you need to confess that to your husband, okay?
Well, it's almost one and the same. I think it takes on a whole other nature. And you can start manipulating
yeah,
to get your way.
Can I throw something in there? In-laws.
Okay.
Maybe that'll help us think about that envy topic a little
in-laws?
Bit more, that envy statement. Just if a husband is accustomed to spending time with his family or he's close to his mom, you know, and not saying for you all to put yourselves out there or saying this is your issue,
no.
but just what does that look like? We want to, you know, a lot of times you know, and the reason I'm asking these questions is because I want the scripture to come to life for people, because we hear, you know, love bears all things, love is kind, and what does this look like?
The
what does
the
envy, yeah, what does that look like in a relationship? How can that tear up a relationship?
Well, that could be real damaging, to be honest. Because when envy steps in, that's a whole other beast, as I was saying.
Right.
Because really you go into a sinful state of now I'm upset and I'm angry because his time is going to someone else.
Or something else versus
me. And you can get envy and jealousy kind of marry each other.
Right.
And so you get really, really upset because that time is not spent toward you, because you feel like, and whether that's single or whether that's married, if you're in a relationship, you want your time.
Absolutely.
And if that time is not coming to you, then a spirit of enviness or jealousy can come up on you, because you feel like you're compromising your time and you're having to subtract your time because the focus is not you.
Absolutely.
The focus is on the thing, or the focus is on the in-laws, or the focus is on, and really sometimes it can even be with children. The focus is on the children, so there's an envy that can.
And it can go man, woman. It can go the husband can feel this emotion, so we're not targeting.
No, him. Not
it
him.
Sounds like the ultimate thing is it's about self.
Yes.
At the end of the day, it's not so much the in-laws or the kids. It's because the attention isn't on me.
It's not on me. You know, so if it, or the attention is not on the person, so if the attention is not on the person who's desiring, then you can go into that envy and that jealous state. And then it can get really ugly, because then you begin to quarrel about where the time is being spent. And then you don't want them around the in-laws. You don't want them doing a certain thing that they might actually enjoy. And I like to take that a little bit further, because if they're spending more time with the in-laws and not spending time with you, then what's going on?
Exactly.
And what do we need to check within the marriage that's causing them to go outside of the home and be happier outside the home because they're spending more time there than to be with the person who's in the home? So we have to look at that equation also. What equation got off, or what formula got off that is not equating to be equal as it should be?
And in some cases, just simply, you know, your husband is used to taking care of mom. You know, she's now elderly. And just simply communicate and say, babe, look, you know, can you just be a little bit more aware that you may hang out by mom a little bit too much, and I would like to see you when you get home from work first, and maybe we can both go over there, or I just want to see you first. Or something like that. You know, put a little sugar on that thing. And you know what I'm saying? Because if not, then that envy or that jealousy starts to fester, and then it becomes envy, and then it becomes something else, like you said, a big old mom.
Yeah, been there, done that. I'm really family oriented, and so is my husband. But initially, when we first got married, I always wanted to be with my family because I was away from them for so long. So I was just craving family. So I would take a lot of his time that I should have been spending with him, and I would be spending it with my family. He couldn't go because I was working, because he was working. He would have wanted to go, but I didn't have the sense enough.
Okay.
Say
it that way.
The sense enough and the maturity enough to know that, yes, he would want to go, but he's working. Somebody's got to work. So I didn't want to curtail that. I didn't want to subtract the time that I was spending with my family, and it began to cause some confusion within the household. Because number one, I wasn't there cooking dinner. Number two, and he's my first ministry.
Right.
So I wasn't taking care of the first ministry. I was going over trying to take care of the second ministry. And even with elderly people, parents as they get older, sometimes we as married people, we still got to curtail that some.
Absolutely.
We cannot go over to mama's house every afternoon and not come home first.
Absolutely.
Come home first and then go over to mama's
house. Incorporate your wife or husband incorporate them in on that.
Yes.
You know, do you feel like going over? Come on,
and
bring something to eat. Yes. Check on, you know, mom or
eat with her.
Yes, and okay, Thanksgiving will soon, your family, Christmas.
That's the biggie.
How do you deal with that?
Yeah.
We have one Christmas out of the year. Who gets Christmas? Who gets Thanksgiving? Who gets Easter? How do you deal with it?
For me, the way I see marriage It's all about serving that other person.
Yes.
One spouse serving the other.
Yes.
So when I make that my focus on how I can serve him, and single people, this is for you too.
That's right.
Because
that's
you want to be preparing. Yeah, listen to all this and decide, oh, I'll take that, I'll keep that.
Break it in, shove it out.
So it's all about
serving
that other person. And when that becomes my priority, my focus shifts off me.
Right.
So I'm not, since we're talking about the difference between love and lust,
mm-hmm.
now my focus is shifted to love, this unconditional love. I want to ask you something about that. I know that the Bible speaks of John 3:16, for God so loved the world,
mm-hmm.
he sent his son to God for us, right?
Right.
I know that that is called agape love.
Right.
That is the God kind of love.
Mm-hmm.
That is unconditional.
Right.
That's not the love between
a husband
and a wife. Can you talk to us about the two different kinds of love and even how we can mimic the God kind of love, though?
Mm-hmm. Well, the love that God gave us by sending his son to die was a love that was unconditional, which is agape love. The love that a husband and wife has, and if you notice the Bible, the husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church.
Right.
He said love the church. It doesn't show in that scripture, he didn't say love your wife as God loved Jesus enough, and as God loved us enough to send Jesus. He said love your wife as Christ loved the church. So in that, he's telling us that we must love. Yet his love was greater than our love of everything, because his is the ultimate love. Our love should be mirroring that, a reflection of
right.
that, because we can never get to the point of love that Christ and God has for for us. So with that in mind, we're still supposed to
cover.
To reflect it,
yeah.
to let that love beam through us. And then that spouse and the two spouses that have come together, the husband and wife that have come together, they've got to love with an unconditional love, agape love, unconditional love. Yes, he's trying to build us to that.
Yes.
But we've not, I don't know anyone who has arrived in that unconditional love that God has for us to send his son.
But it should always be at our heart's cry.
Right.
Cry.
Yes,
love
I mean,
like
we've
this.
Got to,
yeah.
We've got to push for that. And we haven't arrived at it, but we've got to push to that.
And God has given us some really good examples
of
that when you speak of the male being the covering
right.
the head
right.
and the woman being the helpmate.
Mm-hmm.
He's shown us our different positions,
mm-hmm.
right,
mm-hmm.
and how we should be there for one another.
Just as he and Jesus did.
Absolutely.
And then we could even look at that just as we are the bride
mm-hmm.
and he is the groom.
Mm-hmm.
Then that and that's the love that he's trying to show us. That reflects even in husband and wife, that he's the groom and we're the bride. We've got to learn how to love our spouses in the same reflection. The groom is set as the head and the wife is set as the bride. So that love has to come together and cultivate, but it cannot cultivate without God being in the middle of it to the ultimate point of
yes.
the conditional
love.
God
has to be central.
Yes.
And Sister Marcia, the way I'm looking at all of that is, God, he loved us so much that he gave his only begotten son, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he loved us at our worst.
Oh, yeah.
And so how that translates for me, being
that's patient.
That's grace. That's,
yes.
that's
mercy.
Forgiveness.
Mercy.
All of that.
Yes.
But how it translates, over to us is that we are to make one another better, like
yes.
not tear each other down.
Mm-hmm.
Even for the husband, he's to pull those good attributes out of his wife
mm-hmm.
to make her better.
Mm-hmm.
The weak parts that he sees in her, you cultivate that.
Mm-hmm.
You protect that
right.
as well.
Right.
You may have a wife that is, she's giving. She
mm-hmm.
just loves to give to everybody. I mean, you don't stop her from being that giving heart, but you stand back and you kind of guard her a little bit and
yes.
you be the eyes. And then also, when you have those intimate conversations, you can kind of give her your judgment on certain things. And, babe, I think you should maybe scale back because you may be overdoing it a little bit. Things like that. Help me for women, because a lot of times it's always a woman always has something to say. But for me, well, where do I fit?
if I can't have anything to say, where do I fit in this relationship?
Eve had a lot to say.
But then a man would say, Eve
got a problem.
And that's why they always tell me, I should be able to
add
to this relationship and have some, and you should hat off to the man that respects and wants that from his wife and significant other. I want to know, what do you think about certain situations? Let me come to you and let us sit down and talk about some things. To me, that's to help me, not just sitting home. Nothing's wrong with cleaning and cooking, because I love to do cooking, and you want to keep a clean house. I'm not diminishing that. But also being a part of decision-making in a household. And so when you look at help me, when is that help me to a man? And you know, men should corral around and accept women that have a voice and allow them to bring that voice to the table in certain decisions. That's just what love, you know, when Misi asked that question, that's what it looks like to me,
Well, the thing that we have to understand is the man has been given headship, true enough.
Mm-hmm.
But I heard old saying that it's a poor man that doesn't praise his own palm.
Come on.
Okay? And the pond is, and what he was saying was, the pond is providing you.
Okay.
Providing you some things that nobody else can provide. So if you can't praise your own pond, then there's something wrong there. But and I take that in relationship with a man, yet he's ahead. But if you're not a woman who's got godly wisdom, then it would behoove the man to listen to that godly wisdom,
yes,
and allow her to help make some of those decisions. Now, frankly, I'll tell you the truth. I used to want to make all the decisions. But when I learned that I didn't have to make all the decisions, because I was so independent before marriage, but when I learned that I didn't have to make all the decisions, it took the burden off of me, because he was making this decision. But when you've got a man who loves God, he's not going to make all the decisions anyway.
He's not going to want to.
No, because he's going to come and want to know what you think.
Right.
He's going to want to know what you feel about it. He's going to want to know, I'm thinking about doing this job. Well, what do you think about this? Or he's going to pull you in and talk about those kinds of things. Even singles should have that kind of communication where there's and really what it is a respect level.
Right. Yeah, like, babe, I know you're good in direction.
Yes.
You figure that thing out.
Yes.
I'm good in this area.
You were on that direction thing.
I'm just saying.
A bonus intention for you in the
past. Yeah. Let me just say. Okay.
Situations there.
But that's something with men in directions, they're not wanting to pull on the side of that direction. You know.
But this is the thing, though. You have to respect and celebrate,
mm-hmm,
the woman. The man has to respect and celebrate her gift.
Mm-hmm.
Even as a single woman with a single man, and you're just trying to find your relationship.
And as a woman, respecting that covering. Like,
yes.
You know, when you're married, respect that covering. You said something. I used to be independent, but I had to learn how. Not only do you have to learn, you have to learn how to respect that covering.
Yes,
and know that this man is my protector. He's serious about his vow.
Because I was totally out of order.
All right.
I was just straight up out of order.
You just have to
hello.
Remind me yet again.
And you're a newlywed, so, mm-hmm, you know. The thing is, women today are so independent,
mm-hmm,
that we tend to marry ourselves out of a husband.
Come on.
Because we marry the independent versus a good, sound relationship,
mm-hmm,
because we don't want to lose anything,
mm-hmm,
these days. We think if we come into a relationship with a man, we've got to lose everything. We've got to lose our identity. We've got to lose where we can go, when we can go, how we can go, what time we can go. We got to lose what I really want to eat, because he might not want to eat that, so I got to cook something different. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on and on. I want to go shopping right now, but you know, he's got something else planned for me. But when we come to the understanding that we are helpmates, when we get into a marriage, in a relationship that is not married, you still have to start, if it's the person that you're both thinking about marriage, you really have to, and even, let me back this thing up, even if you have not thought about marriage, and you think, okay, all right, I believe it's okay to date this person, male or female, you're dating now, it still should be heading towards something.
Absolutely.
Okay, so you still should be corralling the conversations to see where it's heading. You still should be respecting each other's gifts. You should be respecting each other's time and all of that. And even in a marriage, it still has to come to that same thing, the respect of time, the respect of communication, the respect of wisdom, what do you think about this? No marriage should be one-sided.
Ooh.
Because if it's one-sided, it's not a marriage. Marriage means together.
So
together.
Married
together.
Yes.
Too often women, it is one-sided for the woman. The female looks at it as her marriage. This is my marriage. Not our marriage. That happens time and time again.
Yes. And the husband gets on the couch. Don't say nothing. Don't do nothing. You know, I'll come get your opinion when I get there.
Exactly.
But that's totally out of order. Totally out of order. When he said help me, he meant help me. Another example I like to use for help me, and I know we talked about the shoe example the other night, but another one is I like to think of it as Jell-O. It takes a liquid and it takes a solid. Okay? And in order for that to work, it has to be gelled together. You pour in a liquid and you pour in a solid. Jell-O does not gel until the water is boiled, the hot water is put in to the solid. And then it still does not become Jell-O until it's frozen. So you're boiling out everything that needs to be boiled out and then with that solid. And that I like to think of that man as the solid and the woman as the liquid. And we're coming together and we're mixing.
It's a process.
It's a process. And you got to stir that stuff.
It's a process.
To make
it. Go back to that old word, work, huh?
Yes.
And we're not to look at work in a negative connotation, right?
Not.
Absolutely.
No.
Yeah.
It's all about serving each other yet again and valuing each other.
It's
being what that person brings to your life.
Servanthood.
Yes. It's about, like you said, for the greater good. You want to see the best in that person
and
bring that out.
You should.
So that should be what I want more than anything, not so much as, oh, I got my need met today.
Yes.
If I'm looking out for him, you better believe he's going to be
looking out for me. I'm going to celebrate his gift. I'm going to celebrate him as my husband. And we get afraid of that word submitted, but when you look in celebration, that is a form of submission because you're celebrating, you're exalting him up, not as a god, but you're exalting him to where he's supposed to be. It's God headship. God is the headship.
But
God
has given us freedom to love our husband.
Oh,
not idolize, but God has given us the freedom to love for husbands to love your wives. He's giving you that freedom, and you shouldn't feel guilty about that.
And I need to say that because if we've got some baby Christians listening, you know, God is our head, and then the husband is our covering.
Absolutely.
And then we're supposed to look up to that covering and also let that covering make decisions for us. And then that covering will, in return, if a woman is really gentle enough and loving enough, there's nothing that man won't do for her.
That's true.
And I keep saying our husbands.
That's
I must keep speaking it into the
show.
But not our husbands. But you get the gist of it.
Well, yeah, your husband, because you married to God right now.
Amen. Right. Yes, I am the best husband. Guys, this is absolutely a wonderful topic. We are talking about Love Story Part 3. We will be right back. Don't go anywhere. And this is Ministry Along the Way.
For all those wonderful stories of me, for all the truth that you made me see, for all the joy you brought to my life, for all the wrong that you made right, for every dream. Thank you.
This is Ministry Along the Way Radio. Tonight our topic is Love Story Part 3. We have a series going on.
We have a lot. Yes. We actually have a series. I'm loving it. I'm so loving it. And I just want to, can I just say this? Next week, we may have a really fiery topic for you. I'm excited. I got in a call. I have to follow up on it, and I think we may have an outstanding guest for next week.
Okay, that's just a little tease.
That's
while
tease.
Listening
that's
on.
All I'm going to say. That's
okay,
all I'm going
so
to
you
say.
Tune in for next week because it's going to be hot.
Yes, and we hope so far, guys, that this talk show is blessing you all. When Misi had the idea to do this, I know this was your intention. It's basically to bless others and to kind of share with them as we're growing along the way, right? Because we don't have it all figured out.
It's real simple.
No, we do not have it all figured out, which is kind of like we keep talking about marriages, you know, and it's so great. And I'm getting all of this information firsthand. But that's just how it is in a marriage. I mean, you don't have it all figured out.
You really don't.
And you guys left. When we segued out for the break, we were talking about it takes a process. It is a process, and you were sharing us an example of Jell-O and just trying to merge those two personalities together, and that is true. That's how marriages are. You're 18 years in, right?
Yeah, 18 years.
18 years, still smiling, still smiling.
She's actually glowing.
Yes. I mean, you know.
I love my baby.
That is what I'm talking about. That is what I'm talking about. And
I have no shame in saying that.
And that's what I'm talking about.
All right.
And her husband calls and he checks on her.
Yes, he does.
And she calls and she checks in on him.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And you don't feel like you are beneath him.
Oh, no.
No. You like, I have somebody that's checking up on me.
I'm excited about that.
Absolutely.
I've been for years without somebody checking up on me.
That's what I'm talking about. Because you know what? The reason I said that is that society kind of fools us into thinking that, you know, when you have that type of healthy relationship and your mate is checking in on you like that or checking up and, you know, you're shaking your head because you know me, see, you know, what time are you going to be out?
Oh, yeah.
Because it's getting kind of late.
Yes.
It's not that he thinks that you can't navigate this big old city by yourself.
Right.
It's just that he's the man.
Right.
And, you know, he wants to take care of you.
Remember last week we stayed over and talked a little while, and what was he doing?
He checked up on you.
He gave you alcohol.
As soon as we got in the car. No, when we were here, when we got off air, absolutely. And you didn't feel small, you didn't feel
I felt like, oh, I forgot to call him.
I forgot to call.
In fact, I was actually picking up the phone to call, and he was calling. So our minds were in sync together because I know at approximately a certain time, if I've gone so many hours or something, he's going to check something.
God has given you someone, you know, to be there for you.
Yes.
And to be your protector. Misi, God has given you someone to be there for you and to be your protector.
Yes.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
Absolutely. So, you know, let's just take a deep breath and let's stop taking cues from what we see on television. If we're going to say it's entertainment, let's just let it be entertainment and not let it be the guiding force in our lives.
Right.
You know, I would implore people, pick up
the phone.
Pick up the phone.
And the Bible.
I was going to say, pick up the Bible, literally. Read it. Find some stuff out. That is the best guidebook for our lives. It really is. It really is a wealth of information.
And if you're married and you think he's just checking up on you, pick up the phone and call him back.
Pick up the phone and call him back.
Because he's worried more so than checking up on
you. What if he misses you, too?
Yes.
He might miss you.
Yes.
Miss my boo.
Yes.
And he might have a little surprise for you.
Wait, wait,
I missed a couple phone calls.
Yes, and little did I know that I had cake waiting for me.
I had a time when I didn't call and he was trying to fix dinner for me. And I was late coming home and he was like, well, you know, I was going to fix dinner. And I was like,
remember sometimes just being in a conversation with your girlfriend, and if you have that, you need to step to the side and call your significant other. Like, girl, you calling it hard, and then you know you let that get into your head.
Yeah,
and then when you're getting you,
you
know, and then you right, and then you getting in the car, you on the phone, and you're like, why do you keep calling me like that? I'm with my friend.
Actually, you have an attitude
you know, as a single person, I remember I would have an attitude. Like, why are you calling me?
Absolutely.
Okay, you know what I am.
Absolutely. I'm keeping it real. You know, I'm
calling me. But really, it's a caring thing. And in today's world, you got to be glad somebody's caring about me.
And we're not confusing it. I have to keep saying this, and with you being a life coach, you know, mm-hmm. I know you would appreciate this. We're talking about healthy relationships.
Healthy relationships.
We're not talking about a guy that's stalking you outside of
the
job. If you're going home to an abusive.
If he's calling you 20 times within 10 minutes.
Absolutely.
Okay, that's a little, that's called control.
Yeah.
Right. We're not talking about, you know, someone who has you on a regimen of how often you can
talk.
What
do they call it? A codependent relationship?
Yeah. So just keep in mind when we're saying these things, you know, and you're at home listening, we don't want you to, if you're in a situation where someone is mentally abusing you, don't take this and say, oh, well, I should have.
That's not love.
Healthy, balanced relationships. And as a matter of fact, Ms. Marcia said it earlier, someone who is accountable to Christ.
Yes.
And so he's in line with what God says, and he's going to treat you the proper way, right?
Right. And that's even as a single person and you're dating.
He's a godly man.
He's still going to check on you.
Yes.
He wants to know that you made it home that night because he has now taken the responsibility, and in his heart, he wants to make sure that you're okay because you're not close enough to him. That he can do that, you know, as you get into a serious relationship of dating. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
As long as it's not 20, 30 times within 10 minutes, okay, you're good. You know, but if he's just calling, you've been gone for 4 hours, and he calls and say, hey, how you doing? Well, he could just be calling and say, I love you. He could be calling to make your day.
You want to see evidence of that. Even as a single person, you want to see evidence of that coming from the guy you're dating.
Keep that negative. Yes. That negative conversation, those negative comments out of your head.
Because
you
the devil tells all kinds of lies.
Absolutely.
And he'll make you think, oh, that man is just checking up on you. Well, you just said you want a man who can communicate.
Even through your friendships.
Yeah.
That's what I said. Keep that negative conversation at bay, because a lot of times if someone does not have that healthy relationship going on, and they just may not be giving you the best advice.
Right.
You know what's going on in your home. You know what you prayed to God for, and now He sent you this blessing, this gift. Appreciate that gift.
Right.
Continue to communicate.
You got
to continue to be patient with that opposite person. Let them know your love languages. Let them know when you are uncomfortable, or when they've made you uncomfortable, or when they may have missed the mark a little bit. Be patient enough to communicate that. Right.
Right.
Am I getting all of it?
Oh, you're getting all of it.
Good.
Another thing, too, is when a man starts calling and checking on you, even in a dating situation, and he's just randomly checking, that might be part of his communication.
Okay.
That could be also a time when he's ready to talk. But you're still hanging out with your girlfriend or still doing whatever you got to do that you've missed that communication point of the time that he actually wants to talk to you. So you want to keep that line of communication open and also checking in with him. And then vice versa, sharing that, hey, I'm concerned. How did you make it home? You know, sometimes women always want it to be one side.
Right.
Like I tell people, I buy my husband roses. I buy my husband. If I don't have money for roses, I buy carnation. Okay, but I make sure that I...
That is made his day. What?
The first time I bought him...
Buying roses?
Yes. The first time I bought him roses, he was just so in awe. He's just like, you did this for me? Because men like nice things also. And roses is not a feminine thing. Roses is a flower. It smells good and it's pretty.
Yes. And if your guy likes roses, that's cool.
Yes.
Your guy might like the basketball ticket. When you know, hey,
let me just show you.
You guys can't see this, but what I'm holding in my hand is
a ticket copy.
Okay.
The original.
This is a Happy Wives Club. I can't wait until we get the website so people can see this stuff. But it's a certificate of appreciation. Wow. Demetria has created a National Husband's Day. And so Mr. Derek Bridges was awarded the National Husband's Day Award on January the 22nd, 2014. Can I read? This is awesome.
Read that.
This is awesome.
He was so excited. I was surprised
can see it on the website.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he called me up because I had somewhere to go that night. He called me up and he says, how did you do this? I think we should do this. You should put this
on
the
website
and we can motivate other ladies
yes.
to do this.
This is a great campaign.
Husband's love.
This is a good campaign. You know what? And the beauty of this is, you know, ladies, you don't even have to create your own. She has the template here. You know, just draw from the template. Why create another wheel? This is awesome. And she has a sign, you know,
there
a sign.
There is actually a site that I found. It's called Happy Wives Club. And so I joined because I'm a happy wife. And this came from that website.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, the lady who created that website, her name is Dawn. And this actually is her brainchild.
So we'll tag her to the site
yes.
as one of our resources.
Yes.
This is cool.
Let me ask you a question, ladies, whoever, and I'm speaking to married women and single women who have good, godly men and you're serious about your relationship. How have you appreciated your spouse lately? How have you appreciated that male figure in your life that you say you're in love with? How much appreciation have you given them? Take the time. And, if you know, even with the Happy Wife Club, you can just write a note
mm-hmm.
and stick it, if you're married, stick it on the refrigerator. That's if you're married, because he shouldn't be the same.
Come on,
because
it ain't
okay.
He's waking
up with you. Okay.
He's single now.
He should not be waking
all
up
right.
with you at your house, okay? So you need to give him, you need to put that on his car, go to his apartment.
Text him.
Or text it to him and put it on his car or something. But married women, you know, put it on the refrigerator and let him know that you love him. Just a thank you. A pillow poster or something to say, I love you.
Are you taking notes? I am. I've got lots of mental notes from tonight. I really do.
Ladies, I'm going to flip the script a little bit. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So we in the last segment of this show, we talked about off air a little bit about our motives, right?
Yes.
Because we know this I think we're getting somewhere with love. We still have a lot to talk about with that. But we were sharing with one another, what can some of those lustful things be? And we keep attaching that word motive keep coming up. Check
yes.
your motives.
Yes.
What are your motives?
Right.
And we're talking about getting into a relationship. You can speak to the singles,
mm-hmm.
Tasha,
mm-hmm.
Demetria. And also, when you are married,
mm-hmm.
what are some of those things that can be lust in a form of a distraction? I mean, let's talk about that a little bit.
You want to take the married, I'll take the single?
Okay.
We'll change it up a little bit.
The first thing that's coming to my mind are attempts to control,
mm-hmm.
to have our way. That, to me, is coming from a place of lust because we want what we want, whether it's for the common good of the marriage or not. We just pretty much want our way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With the singles, and there are a lot of motives that come in when we are trying to, you use the word control, and also another word would be manipulate, or we become conning and because we want to secure this man or this woman. So we use manipulation tactics or cunning tactics to go after that person, and we try to manipulate the situation. And I'm just going to put it on the table. Some women literally try to get pregnant to keep that man.
Yeah.
And it's sad to say it, but, you know, the latest thing I've heard of is the turkey baster. You know, ladies,
that's crazy.
Please, ladies, let's keep our dignity.
Yes,
let's
ma'am.
Keep our dignity. You want a child will come with the man that God has for you. But to use turkey basis to get
and you know what? Not only that, Sister Marcia, you're bringing in a child. You're bringing in a child.
That's manipulation.
So you really didn't want the child. You want the man. When you get the man, are you going to really love that child like you should? Because you really didn't even want this child.
Well, the sad part is you can have the baby and not get the man.
Yes,
that's true.
Of the manipulation that you play forward.
That's true.
And then, sure, he's got to pay for that child, but then you still have destroyed relationship. So manipulation and love does not go together. manipulation and cunning does not go together. And it becomes because you're lusting after this person, you want to manipulate them, and you want to be cunning, and you want to be crafty, and you want to, you want to be controlling. So you want to do, a lot of times when that happens, when that lust comes in, you will do anything you have to
keep
that relationship. And that's whether it's a male or whether it's a female,
right.
That, you know, a male is dating that female, or the female is dating that male. And whoever that manipulative, lustful person is, they will do anything. But the worst part about that is, and I should say the sad part about that and the sorrowful part about that is, you're diminishing the relationship, and you're lowering your standards.
And standards. And the reason I bring in the thing about the child is because oftentimes I've seen where parents or mothers are now resentful of the child. So then it becomes, you push the child
away
on the mother, on the grandmother, or another family member, because you really didn't want, and that's why I put out there,
child.
You don't want that child.
Family,
you were going after after this man, and now he doesn't want you or the child, and you don't spend that quality time with the child.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just an ugly situation.
And, you know, even when we're talking about that, I have to say that I'm learning a lot even in coaching. But that's really, really happening a lot with young women, with famous football players or basketball players or soccer players, people, young men who have money. Women are cunning and using the turkey-based method to get pregnant.
I'm sorry, does that actually work?
It actually happens.
It
actually happens. Okay, and it's sad because you're ruining different lives. You're ruining, first of all, if you don't get that, man, you're ruining your life. Secondly, you got a baby to take care of. Whether you throw them off on your parents or grandparents or not, it's still your child. It's still your responsibility. And then you've also created now when God is ready to send you that person who you're supposed to have, now you've got another equation of a child. And don't get me wrong, a child is a gift from God, and a child is always welcomed in. But we want to get them the right way. We want to get them with our spouses because it's difficult to bring in. It's already hard to bring in a marriage. You know, husband and wife coming together,
right.
And then you're bringing a child in that you manipulated the situation to get. It's really not what we're supposed to be doing.
Wow. This is so heated, and time is running out. But we really are going to have to. I'm like, wow, where is the time going? We really have to come back and talk. Would you come back? Well, we have to check in first.
Yes, I have to check
in. Be obedient. And then we have to see if you can come back so we can talk about this a little bit more. Because we need to delve into this motive.
We can.
Absolutely.
No,
we need to be along the way.
Even more than anyone that you adore can love.